All right. Well, I'd like to call to order the June 20th Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. On the phone, we have Corey Shorkey, and everyone else is here in person. Do we have any public on today? Okay. And I hate to do this to all of you, but I believe we have to go into executive session.
Yes.
So I'd like... Do we have a motion to go into executive session?
Motion to enter executive session.
Definitely.
Oh, but I have to say to talk about what?
Property and litigation.
Okay. To talk about that, property and litigation.
All right. Second, Joel. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let's move on to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any changes to the meeting minutes? If not, does anyone have any questions on the check register? Ian?
Remind me, what was the total cost of the solar array?
$1.8 million, okay. Just slightly over that.
So was this month the first hit?
There was a $50,000 or $60,000 hit earlier to kind of get us to design. This was the first big check.
Yes. Okay, so we'll have three more.
That's a half a million.
Yeah,
is what that.
Yeah, and then we will get money back from Blue Sky and from the Infrastructure Tax Act.
How much is that?
Roughly,
ballpark.
750. 800, that's 1,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Between the two of them.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
About 400 Blue Sky, 350 probably the Infrastructure Act.
On the low side. That's the
conservative.
Yeah, that's the pessimistic view of it.
Okay, let's hope for more. That'd be great. And then we picked up a flatbed. That was for one of the trucks we just had delivered recently.
Yeah.
Or is that a future purchase?
We purchased the truck, but it came in the wrong color. But we've already purchased the bed now, so we're just waiting for the truck and the right floor to come, and then that bed is the one that will go on it. It's like an F-350.
Oh, okay. Got it. And then my last one on the check register, the Summit County permit number 24239. It was in, then it was taken out.
There was a $200 credit for what we paid before. Okay. But the way they did the invoice, it looked kind of weird. So we made the check for too much, had to void it, and then just make it for $200 less.
Okay, perfect. I missed that. It was $200 different. Cool, thank you.
Did anyone else have any questions on the check register? Mike?
I had a couple on the to tow in the dump truck. So it's $500 charge.
Yeah, the Kenworth was having electrical problems, so it wouldn't really start and run, so they had to tow it down to get it repaired.
Didn't we get a new one, though?
We've ordered a new one.
Yeah.
That will probably be getting late this fall. There's been, or possibly the beginning of next year now, because the transmission we wanted, they're not producing right now, but they will start producing again because we want an Allison transmission. Versus they could have delivered it with something else, but we decided to wait and get what we wanted.
I'm glad we're needy. That's good.
You know what's very interesting? It's taking a long time for repairs in general. Yeah. I mean, my lovely wife is a house with my car. And it's been over a month.
Oh,
and there's not that much damage. I mean, I was talking to the insurance company today, and they said, everyone is backed up. I mean, it doesn't matter what the repair is. It's really strange. So it must be a lot of accidents in Clarksville.
I had the same question on building permit. Rocky Mountain Power, you had on the 8th and the 30th. Was it kind of just one of those moments where we get billed twice?
Were they two big bills or two? Because they do, we get actually four different Rocky Mountain Power bills. There's one that has about 80 items on it. That's most of the pumps and PRB stations. There's one that's specific to Lost Canyon. And then there's the Silver Creek tank and is on one other one, and there's one other small one. But so often we'll pay three or four bills, but usually just each of them once a month.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it was just the four this month, if I recall.
Okay.
Well, there was kind of a big group on the 8th and another on the 30th, which was kind of looked like they overlapped. But that's fine.
But that's, yeah.
What do you have on the 8th?
Let's see, on the 8th, Dominion Energy, Rocky Mountain Power,
30 grand,
and then on the 30th, so this is probably Lost Canyon, the 22, and then the small ones. And on the 30th, I would guess would be the big Rocky Mountain Power bill.
Silver Creek Canyon's pump house.
Oh, or vice versa. This was the first, Lost Canyon, and the 20 was all the one that has like 80 items on it.
Right. So is that usually how it comes to us?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. That's all.
Joel, did you have any questions on the check register?
No, I didn't. I don't.
I have a couple.
All right.
All right. So we had 5 refunds to the Promontory Conservancy, which I don't think built any buildings. Did they just turn in a bunch of water meters or something?
It was for their irrigation accounts that they did in the pinnacle.
Okay. And then we refunded a fairly large concurrency payment to John James.
Yeah. We talked about that one. It was in the preserve that he decided to not build. So in that case, if they get the can show the building permit was taken back by Summit County, we will refund the impact fee.
Okay.
We keep our inspection fee and things like our plan review fee. That's all.
And then I just had a few questions on the just because we had 2 months of the Home Depot or not.
Oh, yeah.
The credit card bills. So one of them was, what are we using Coke for on the fire hydrants? Is it to loosen up the bolts? Somebody ordered or somebody bought like, I don't know, $12 worth of Coca-Cola for a fire hydrant repair.
It actually is really good at stripping rust, but I don't know if that's what they were using it for.
Do you have the date on that?
Oh, I didn't. It was through Cody. It was on Cody's credit card.
And Macy's marked up Pinebrook Coke for fire hydrant. Somebody teach Cody that trick back in the day or something? Does it loosen it up?
It might.
Yeah, it does take rust off.
Yeah.
It definitely works.
Okay.
All right. And then it looked like Jackie got charged twice for a control board dinner, and I wasn't sure if we had to pay 50% before and 50% after, or if we might have accidentally got charged twice.
On her credit card?
There's a charge on 319 for 126 ACB dinner, and one for, 126 on 322 for the ACB dinner. We'll look into that. I apologize.
Oh, no worries. And then it looked like Brian had a $700 repair for S&S repair and transport. I don't know. I'm like handwriting. Repair and transportation?
It's probably a dump truck repair. Okay. S&S repairs our dump trucks, and Brian probably put it on his credit card.
And then you had $700 in NRG for advertising. Was that a public notice or something?
No, that's a lot of little, like, marketing materials that public service purchase.
Okay.
I just put it on my credit card, like the little rulers. And what else did you get?
The blue tabs for the toilet.
Gotcha. Okay. And I just an observation, it just seemed like a lot of Home Depot charges. And my last thing was, you know, we had a wellness lunch and we served Domino's, and it seemed like an unusual choice.
Well, it was mental health.
Oh, it was mental health.
It was mental health. So
well, pizza's better for mental health.
Hydration. So we did the suicide awareness. The American Association came out and talked about suicide awareness. And so we went with a little
cheaper option.
It just made me laugh when I
read. I know. Well, that's what I was like. I know this is our first wellness guest here. Everybody like.
Who doesn't, right? That's all I had. So let's see. And we don't have any purchase orders. Okay. Does anyone want to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed.
Second.
Hey, all in favor?
Aye.
And that Coke was to unseize a hydrant.
It was. Okay. Need to put that on our Pinterest page. That would have been a good photo for this week. Okay, so we are on to you, Anna, to discuss the liens.
Several behind us.
I know. Keeps going.
So there mostly are standby fees on here. Obviously, we can't shut them off to get their payment. Even since this was presented in the packet last Friday, there are probably 5 that have made payments. So this will change up until it gets approved by the community. So there's a whole bunch of Camla Homes. I called and talked to their, I think they said he was looking forward. His name is Troy. And he just said that to lean them all and he will get it from the buyers when he sells.
So that's why all those are all the same amounts?
Yeah, they're all the same amounts.
Can I ask one more question? There were a couple on Kingsford Avenue, which I thought was in a neighborhood that's not in, like it might be in the district, but it's covered by Summit Water.
Well, that's Fairview. So Kingsford, Richmond, Williamstown Court, those are us. Mm-hmm. And then if you turn left, they're all like Aspen and Fox Glen. As soon as you pass Kingsford, then it's some, right?
Yeah, I'm from Fairview, just above.
Yeah, see, I used to live on Fairview and I was Summit Water and I knew that was the street below. I didn't realize that we were so close. Yeah. Huh. Did anyone else have any questions on the lien report? Am I the only one that reads it? Oh, I wonder what.
I read all the Summit Park ones.
No, I found a couple of names that were familiar, but most of them are rentals, so I figured that had something to do with it.
Okay. Went to that one time. I was telling you.
Do we need to approve this, or is it just informational?
No, I think they have to recommend.
Yep.
You have to make a recommendation to the county council.
Okay, so do we have a motion to make a recommendation to approve the certified tax lien report?
Recommendation of approval of the certified tax lien for delinquent fees and charges for the Mountain Regional Water Special Service District to the Summit County Council.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, well, it's unanimous.
And did you get Joel's second?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we're on to you, Steve.
Well, the year continues to go well. We are about $1.3 million better than budget. $900,000 of that is coming from revenue. Now, most of that revenue variance is coming from interest earnings and impact fees. As we kind of discussed before, we didn't think interest earnings would or interest rates would stay this high for 6 months when we were budgeting last year. And then impact fees, the big one from the school, has really helped us stay above budget. Impact fee, about $119,000 for Parley's Park.
Oh, that remodel.
Yeah. We have not gotten the trail side one yet.
It actually just came in yesterday and today on the documentation board.
So we'll start processing that.
Is that another 100 plus?
I would think it should be in that ballpark.
Cool. It's great. 300 more bodies in the building. So.
And we also realized that High Valley Administration Office never got a concurrency letter or paid an impact for that building. So that will be another one that will happen for them. And that building is going vertical.
We'd given them concurrencies for their other two buildings, and it was assumed at the county that that was all they needed, that there was another one for that building. So,
so it's just that we've had some really big impact fees, and not that, because I was looking at the average, and the average is like double of last year. And I thought, I knew we'd probably, you know, didn't we make a change to the impact fees with the
end? We did make a change to the impact fee. So it is, those are about the same as they would have been before. Several impact fees are lower. The other one that's changed is Promontory.
Hmm.
Because we used to only, after the part we reimbursed them, we'd only keep $1,243.
Mm-hmm.
Now we keep about $4,000. So each one of those, instead of really hurting the average, kind of keeps, is closer to the average, let's say. So that's also helping us have a slightly higher average this year for impact fees.
I'm sorry, what does it mean when we've given concurrence?
When they come in and pay an impact fee, Anna prepares a concurrency letter that shows that we are going to provide them water. It's part of the county's concurrency program where you only have so much water you can commit to.
It's a promise to serve.
Yeah, okay. More or less. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank
you. Yeah. So if you scroll down just a little bit, Chris, you can see the variances there is. We are above projections for water sales. A lot of that, again, we started irrigation sooner, and we had more customers converting from standby to actual water-using customers than I had anticipated this early in the year. But the big changes are the development, and the other revenue is where the interest earnings variance is. Let's see. We go down. Expenses are below budget, operating by about 8.3%. Quite a bit of that is depreciation, but we also are having savings in operations, maintenance, and repairs. Repairs, knock on wood, are lower, a lot lower than last year. We were just looking at the overtime hours. This time last year, we'd had about 250 overtime hours for repairs and leaks and things like this. This year, we're only at 66. So that's about $9,000 in savings in just labor costs, let alone the repair costs. So that's helping there. So we're below budget on expenses. So let's go ahead and call on down. Cash was pretty much stable for May. And so what that means is basically, you know, just kind of what we made in May covered our expenses in May, which is kind of normal. The shoulder months, we kind of break even. Summer, we make money. Winter months, we lose money, if you really broke it down like that. Operating cash and reserves went down because we were funding every month. We put money into an escrow, basically to make the bond payments. So that's where you can see the debt reserves held by trustee. That goes up because every month we transfer money to them, so they know we'll be able to make our bond payments. And then the other restricted cash went down because we did refund a lot of security deposits again. Plus we used the reserve for the treatment plant to pay for the carbon that we just recently purchased. So that one goes down because we can pull money out of it and put it into just normal operating reserves. If you customer growth, we again are going back to more like 2020, more historical 2020 and 2023 numbers. We're at 50, which if you look at the four-year average, we're 45 below. But if you just look at last year, we're 5 connection requests higher than last year. And kind of the same holds for Promontory. You'll see they've sold 14 lots. Four-year average is 25, but 2020 was 9 and 2023 was 10. So I guess we're a little better than historical, but not the anomalies of 2021 and 2022. Right? Usage, kind of the same, kind of same story, different years. So 2024 in May, our customers, direct customers, used 111 acre feet. You can see in 2020, it was 162. In 2021, it was 128. Then it was really low in 2022 because drought restrictions, and was really low last year because we still had snow on the ground. So we're kind of going, if you can say it, maybe to an average year, I'm hoping. And if you go down a little bit more, you can see kind of that same pattern. We're higher than last 2 years, but lower than the high years of 2020 and 2021. Olympic Park is definitely, we're wheeling more water to them than we have historically. I think that'll continue. And Promontory Golf, kind of the same thing, you know, just the same patterns there. Park City definitely did slow. They only took 19 million gallons, which is significantly lower than they usually had been taking. So I think now that Three Kings is up and running, they are not nearly as dependent on Quinns. And, excuse me, Summit Park is at 225 acre feet. Oh, sorry, Summit Water, thank you. So they have 275 acre feet left for the year. All right, let's see. The blue line's a little better than I would have guessed, you know, just because I hadn't thought usage or growth would be quite there, but still above the line where it should be. June started hot like gangbusters, kind of had this little cooling period. Looks like it's going to get hot again. So I think we're going to have a pretty good usage and revenue month for June. And that's all for the May. Oh, this is that breakdown by category. And kind of the thing to draw your attention to, scroll down just a little bit more. So you've got the irrigation that's higher because it started sooner, and also the standby fees lower, but up above a little bit, the residential higher because those have just flipped faster than I thought. But in good shape and ready, if we do have some repairs, our budget, big repairs this summer, we can handle it. So.
Any questions? Think by not, you know, not wheeling as much to Park City and Summit Water, it'll give our whole system a little chance to rest?
I would think so. The raw water to Park City will more just help keep Lost Canyon power costs down. That's not a lot of wear and tear other than the Lost Canyon pumps. The water to Summit Water is treated, goes through the treatment plant, goes to more of the distribution. So I would say that would rest our system more. Plus, that's the water we're really taking back to help cover our growth for the next few years until we can finalize what we're going to do with the treatment plant and things like that. So you never know when you try to time those. You're taking water. You're stopping making money off of some water thinking you're going to need it. So you can never quite time that perfectly, but I think we're doing a pretty good job of it.
Right.
Let the wells rest.
Yeah, and kind of let the wells rest and kind of that timing on when we decided to stop selling water to Summit Water. Because it seems like we'll use it. It'll be nice to have it back for the after next year for a year or two. So we don't feel this huge pinch, you know. So if Brian was here, he'd probably say we're running it too tight. Just kidding. I can say that since he's not there.
Do you want to talk about insurance?
Yes. So as Andy was talking about a little bit before the meeting, we met with, and in the memo, we met with the trust on Tuesday. They gave us their proposal. All in all, they didn't do a rate increase. Our premium is just under $76,000 from them. Then we met with Olympus Insurance, who was getting quotes from
Tokio Marine
and who was the fault of Calbell was the cyber security. Their quote was a little over $80,000. So the trust is $4,200 cheaper. We have requested that Dave look at those beginning of next week. We have the trust policy, but we don't have the one from Olympus yet, but they're going to send it over.
So Dave will do an apples to apples.
As much as you can with these. Like we're kind of saying some will have a higher deductible, some will lower, some will, but he'll help us out in making the decision. It, 4 years ago when we did this, the quote from Olympus Insurance from whoever the carrier was a little bit more, but we stayed with the trust due to the no fault and kind of the familiarity. But it's definitely a good process to go through this every once in a while. I think it helps keep our insurance costs lower by making sure they know they're competing for our business and we're not going to just take whatever is rolled out.
Makes sense.
So the request is our policy does renew July 1st. So following after Dave's review the beginning of next week, we would like to be able to make a decision before July 1st and renew or move carriers. So we're requesting the board grant approval to the management team to make that decision, even though we don't have a PO for you to sign tonight, because we don't know which one we're going with. So
is that consistent with our procurement policy in the
For a services like this, between 50 and 100, we're supposed to get multiple written quotes, which we now have. So usually we probably would have tried to get a PO ready for you for tonight, but just by the time you get all the applications in and information back, we ran a little tight in that. So.
Well, certainly for me, I feel comfortable having the three of you make the decision on that once we get the final information back. Do we have anyone that would like to make a motion?
Well, or does it meet our procurement rules, though?
Yeah, yes. You approving this, giving us the authority, it will...
Okay with our bylaws.
Andy's our chief procurement officer.
Okay. Yeah, so we just want to make sure that even though there's a $4,200 price differential, we're not missing out on something else that maybe it's a higher deductible that, you know, then becomes more expensive. Yeah. But like Steven said, it's hard to, they're not using the same format. They're not using the same form. So it's hard at first blush to say, yes, this is the option we're going to go through. And if you're around next week, we can make the decision and then have you sign the PO.
I'm around.
Hopefully we can make that decision Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we can just have you sign it and report back.
Makes sense.
Would somebody like to make a motion?
Recommendation for Mountain Regional Management to move ahead with selection of insurance policy based on the best judgment of Mr. Dave Thomas.
Sorry, get hold of money.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. Wow, just buzzing through this today. And then Lisa, you're going to give us an update on the Tier 2 employee contribution updates.
And nothing here. This doesn't need an action. It's just for informational purposes only. Last meeting, we talked about the Tier 2 employee contribution. And Summit County did go ahead and do the 0.95% increase. So Mountain Regional would like to do the 1% that we talked about last time. It fits within our budget because the tier one's going down, so there's no budget adjustment and no other approval from the. We just wanted to let you know.
Great.
That's it.
Thanks for doing that.
Sure.
Okay, Chris.
Just a quick update on the floating solar of the treatment plant. This is I'll go through a little slideshow right here. So they started work kind of end of May. They started mobilizing and so forth. We'll just walk you through some of this. You can see these concrete blocks are actually the ballast that's going to be on the shore. Here they're mobilizing doing some of the electrical stuff to begin with, some of the AC power runs. We used our guys and our ditch witch to find our fiber line that runs into the treatment plant. We didn't really want them doing it. We figured it was better for our guys to be doing it. And while we were doing this, Caden came up and used the GPS location stuff. So now we have this map, so we have a better idea of where stuff is, how deep it is. So we've gotten some good data out of this as well. So the MRSO, who was the company that won the bid, they partnered with D3, who is the importer of all the floats and so forth. D3 contracted with a company called Apollo Electrical out of Salt Lake. They specialized in solar installations and so forth. So here they are setting up the platform. They're going to be launching the panels from some more electrical stuff, trenching. Here's the delivery of the floats that came in. So they came in on, I think, three different semi-trucks to be able to bring all the floats in.
Yes, two of the semi-trucks were jamming up traffic up there.
So here's some more of the concrete blocks stockpiling of the floats. You can see the edge of the platform that they were building. Platform's about, I think, 110 feet long. That's what they ended up building it out as. So you'll see here in the next few photos.
And is that temporary?
No, it's temporary. Yeah. So the idea is, and you'll see here, This was last week. So they assemble a row up here on the upper deck, and then they will assemble a second row. Now they've attached the panels to that row, and then they, this was a test float to see how getting them off of a platform would go. We actually, I had to help them drag it back up. They didn't have enough bodies that day. These are the coupling pieces that, that hold all the different parts of the floats together. Huge stacks of solar panels that showed up. And this is from today.
Wow.
So they're averaging right now 8 or 9 rows a day, and they figure they'll be doing 10 a day as they're going, and it's going quicker than they had anticipated, which is great.
Yeah, that's when I was up there yesterday, that's more than double.
Yeah. So what, like I said, they attach a row at the back, and then it's brute force. They just start pushing it off the platform, and because they're all connected, the other ones just stay put in the water.
And they don't put panels in that leading row?
So exactly. Yeah. And anchoring, so they're not attaching the anchor points to the panel floats. They're separated away from the panel floats. And then the connections here will be, so that they'll build this full width. It'll get put, when it comes out, it'll come out almost all the way to the front edge of the camera. They'll push it all the way to the west side of the pond. They'll do another one. That one gets attached, and then they'll keep going until they get it all built out.
What will it produce in wattage?
I don't remember what the instantaneous would be, but it's, you know, over the course of the year, it's 95% of what the treatment plant currently uses. Yeah. And I mean, there's room to expand it as well. It's not like it's stuck. So you can see the low profile of the panels. These panels are also 400 watt panels. Originally, when we were talking about it, they were 325 and 350 watt panels. So the number of panels significantly decreased because the wattage went up. But I want to say it's like 1,300 panels or something like that is what this whole array will be made of. So.
Were any panel damaged?
No, they said, all the boxes were in good shape. You know, and same thing with the floats. I looked at the floats, and they're actually pretty durable. With some of the crazy wind we had on Monday, some of them were getting blown off the piles, and they were rolling, and I grabbed them, and they were fine. They weren't even scuffed up. So I think it's a good product, and I think we made the right choice with it. So as this continues, I'll keep going and showing you guys some more photos and more board meetings.
Do you think that this works well? Will we use it in other areas?
We don't really have any other open water areas where we could do a float system like that. The only thing would be if the treatment plant expands significantly and is going to use more power, we could add on to this and cover more of the pond because there's plenty of room to continue to grow on the pond. So,
is it much more efficient?
Yeah, so the idea behind this is that being close to the water keeps the panels cooler. So a cooler panel generates more efficient power. Besides the fact that it should also reduce the water temperature, it won't heat the water as much, which will help with plant growth, help with evaporation and so forth. So we're hoping, knock on wood, that enough of the pond is covered that we see that benefit.
Are we getting enough publicity?
My guess is once this gets launched and is operational, we will get a ton of publicity.
Okay.
And part of our agreement with Blue Sky is, we have to make tours available of it. I'm sure they're going to market this. I'm sure Ameresco is going to market this. So although we might not have another opportunity to do something similar, I think this will open the door for other people in the state to do that.
Cool. Yeah, most of the ones that are out there right now are much larger scale. The smaller scale stuff like this is just kind of being more contemplated. So that part of the reason why Ameresco was willing to help and push on this one a little bit is because it's going to be a good sales tool for them in the future.
From a big picture standpoint, is this going to be much more efficient than what we have, all things considered? Does that make sense?
Well, if I may for a minute. So the life of the panels and so forth is estimated at 20 years, if I'm not mistaken.
On the short side, yeah.
On the short side. Because of the money we're getting back, our payback on this is about 10 years. So it'll become, instead of an expense, it'll actually generate profit because we won't have the power expense up at the treatment plant. So yeah, there's a little bit of investment, but there is a payback on this investment, basically about 10 years.
Okay. Over the long run. Yeah.
Well, over the long run, it'll be nice to basically knock on wood, have free electricity up there for 10 years, given 10 years payback and at least a 20 year life.
And they're actually finding that some of the.
Oh, go ahead, Corey.
Sorry. When do they go live?
It'll be end of summer, and you guys will know well in advance when we're going to have the ribbon cutting ceremony for it.
Will we see like a definitive drop in our power bill on the monthly basis, like in the check register? Is that a metric that we'll be able to acknowledge?
Sure. Yeah, we can, because the treatment plant has an individual meter and it has an individual line item, so we can see that. The other thing that we have to do as part of the Rocky Mountain Power Blue Sky step is to make some of this data public. So on our website, there will be a solar display, if you will, like in the next few months, we're going to be kind of designing that. But the idea behind it being, you know, how many metric tons of carbon have been offset by the power produced by this in this week, in this month, in this year, right? And I've seen some other ones from Bend and some other states that look pretty cool, and I think we can do a really nice job with that and get some continued publicity from it. So.
Yeah, and those are all great, but like to Joel's point, I think we're going to get some instant gratification here, which is going to be great, you know, easy to measure. It's going to be good.
Well, we figured out the annual power budget the annual cost for the treatment plant has been around $80,000 a year. So, That's where the you know, if we come in around the $1 million mark on final cost, it's about 10 years for us to recoup our cost just on the power bill side alone.
The comment I have is we should do everything possible. This is my opinion. We should do everything possible to get some good publicity. I mean, this is fantastic.
Yep.
This is fantastic. And We need to brag about our wins.
Well, Lisa and I have been asked to do a solar by some solar thing in New York, some symposium or something, to come and speak at it. Neither one of us feels like we should do this before it's actually said and done, right? Before we actually have some tangible results. But yeah. But people are asking. People know about it.
Okay. So, good.
And Ameresco has ties with some AP Wire stuff, so Newswire. It gets pushed out nationally and globally. So when they do their big press release in conjunction with Rocky Mountain Power, when this goes live,
we can have an article in the paper.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah.
KPCW.
Okay.
Yeah, like, this is so cool. I want to go up and, like, put eyes on it tomorrow. Am I going to get in trouble if I go up?
The guys will not be up there tomorrow. So if you talk to Eric at the plant, he'll let you walk around the back.
Maybe even post something to the Promontory Facebook page.
There you go.
It's cool. You know?
I took some videos today when we were up there with Chris and some other pictures. I put them in the G Drive admin solar array.
In the
box.
Okay.
Or the folder.
Yeah.
My family on the East Coast are involved in renewables and stuff, and I was sending them videos today. They're like, this is so cool. I'm forwarding it to my colleagues and, you know, stuff. G Drive admin solar array. And I have a picture.
Oh, you add, okay.
So, they added a folder called pictures.
That's what, okay.
Got you talking. And the one that
wow, that's pretty cool.
Very fast. the last video.
And they don't even have enough guys yet to do the whole. So they pushed one side and kind of twisted the panels out, and then they walked down together and pushed the rest of them out.
Are there other bodies of water we might take advantage of?
Are there other benefits?
Bodies of water.
Not for us. We don't have any open bodies of water. But if there's talk that that there's going to be another installation in Heber Midway area somewhere on a sewage pond was one of the things that they were talking about. So yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more of it.
Sure.
Yeah, that is good stuff. Any other questions for Chris on this?
By the way, nice lunch.
Well, you know, you guys really have put a lot of time and effort into this, but it's really exciting to see him out there. All right, we're on to you, Andy. Do you have any words of wisdom for us?
Of course not. So many of you know that residents of Lake Rockport Estates came to the district several weeks ago looking for a permanent water solution, and one of the biggest obstacles or things that need to be accomplished is 100% of the lot owners, residents over there have to vote in an affirmative in annexation. And the county council has to approve the annexation request. So check one thing off the box to see if the county council is interested. We met with them and they decided that yes, they do want to see us explore Lake Rockport Estates. They even made the statement that if they can't get 100%, they'd go the 75-25% route where they would almost force them in.
No, I just heard that. Yeah, somebody outside talking loud.
I'll go do a lot.
So
fossil fuel guys.
There's the annexation that has to happen. The hydrological model has to happen. Easements have to be acquired through promontory and Rockport branches. Funding has to be acquired. So there are several major hurdles that are going to have to be overcome in order for this to move forward. After the meeting, several of the residents, they petitioned the residents that were in the room, and everyone that was in there was in favor. I've heard that there's differing opinions over there, whether they want to connect or not connect. But after the meeting, we kind of met with several of the residents, knowing right now the ball is in their court to move this forward. We've done everything that we can at this point. I don't know if they've actually engaged with Bowen Collins or put any more information out there. It's going to be about a $75,000 engineering study. I've given them contact for Promontory to see if Promontory would even entertain an easement. They need to figure out Lake Rockport or Rockport branches. So there's a long road ahead to make this work.
How did they get their water now?
So they have two wells. One well has been around, I don't know, 20 plus years. I think it's only doing 20, 25 gallons a minute. They just drilled a new well. They may not have drilled it to the full depth that was recommended, and that one's producing less than the current one. They were able to get some USDA funding to finance those. There's 177 current dwellings over there. There's another 150-something of undeveloped lots. People over there right now can have water about 6 months of the year, depending on temperature. But typically in the colder months, they disconnect the system. The pipes are shallow. There's no fire flow in the winter. There's roads that are questionable in the winter and in the summer. One of the comments I made was, you know, the opinion of the board was, they'd like to see those roads brought up to standard because we want a safe working environment. And the response that I got back was, well, you can't always get what you want. You may have to do what you have to do, in polite terms. So, like I said, Rockport, Lake Rockport Estates, HOA, residents, or whatever, really have to move this forward.
What's the hydrologic study for?
So to figure out where to connect it, you know, do they need more tanks, pipe size?
A master plan?
Yes.
Water.
All new infrastructure.
All new infrastructure, connections, hydrants, the whole, you know, PRV, you name it, just to figure out. Because right now, I believe they said they are pumping water up, sending it back down, but in theory, depending on elevations, everything, we may be able to just gravity feed to them. And so, but all of that is totally unknown. We really haven't, I mean, we spent quite a bit of time on it, but not.
So they have to do all that homework before the council would entertain?
Before I think we're comfortable.
Oh, so we do get a say?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean,
oh, yeah. We recommend to the
now, whether
for annexation,
whether that say carries any weight, I don't know.
And that's what I was hearing was the council may force this even beyond our opinion. Say if we had an issue with safety,
it could affect the treatment plant upgrade. I mean, there's other considerations to the district.
Yep.
It's 170.
Roughly, there's 328 total. Lots up there, there's approximately 170 something that are developed, another 150 something. And we've heard different opinions from people that have no structure on their property that they're not interested. We just back at a napkin calculation, just to pay for this, $20 million would be about $300 a month per resident, not including water.
For how long?
20 years.
If they can get 20 year financing?
$300 a month.
Mm-hmm. Now, if they can get some other USD money or grant money or, you know, whatever. The good news is where they're located, they're probably, well, I don't know. I mean, some lots over there right now, million dollar homes. I don't know what the AMI in that specific area, but they might have some other grant or other opportunities.
It might gentrify the area once they get it done. If they have that kind of vision.
They said of those 170 dwellings, didn't they say about 100 of them, they estimate are full-time residents now? So, yeah.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
In no particular order, have we looked at why we should go up there and do our thing and why we shouldn't? I mean, I think we need to be prepared. Both sides. I mean, I hate to say this. Please don't take it personally. But, I mean, I don't want this to be like Summit Park. Jesus Christ. That's a freaking mess.
The good news, the difference between Summit Park and this is they would have to improve their infrastructure in order for us to service water, where when we acquired Summit Park, we acquired it as is and we're making improvements. So internally, we've talked about the pros and cons. Comments from the council were they need water, they need fire flow. The location to Promontory could be devastating if there was a fire like there was 5, 6, 7 years ago. They're residents of the county, they deserve water. So, you know, we can have our opinions, but we don't control our destiny since Mountain Regional was founded as the water district of last resort. And so that's kind of where we're going. It would put it, even though Promontory is Eastern Summit County, as I learned today, it would push us formally into Eastern Summit County, which could mean who knows what's next, right? Because then Rockport Ranches and then Wanship and then
who knows? Yeah, that whole development, like, where are they going to get water from?
It's a good question.
And so, quite so.
You have to bring their own water rights. And
so that would be a condition. I think they have 144 acre feet of water rights. I can't remember if they're decreed or what they specifically are. They have more rights than they have source right now.
I mean, it'd be kind of like Community Water, where it was $2 million, right, for their improvements, and they got the assistance from drinking water, right?
They got a low interest loan. It was $2.6 million.
Yeah. This is an order of magnitude. This is 10. Put a zero on your next page.
There was one of the lands there that said they still needed to run five more miles of pipe.
I didn't care.
Well, you think of, our Stagecoach customers pay $143 a month as an assessment.
Yeah.
When you think of the magnitude and things like that, and you kind of run the numbers, that's where we get the $300 per month. And that's without paying base or for any water. That's just their assessment. So yeah, we wouldn't be getting even though it is a failing water system, they would have to bring it up to speed before we would take it. So we wouldn't have the leaks and the infrastructure problems that we do in Sonoma Park, like Andy was saying. But it is a very expensive proposition on their end.
I mean, and that's where as far as to be prepared to say yes or no, even though we may not have the ability to say yes or no.
Yeah.
I think we should be prepared.
I've got a two-part question. Sorry, this is the shortest lull you guys have given me to try to chime in.
Corey.
Do we have anywhere in our specifications that dictates what the access to a new system is? So, I mean, could we say that, yes, you do indeed have to improve your roads in order for us to provide service? Or is that more of an ask? And then the second part to that is, if the county council does dictate that we do need to provide service, are we at risk of accepting the system that's in the ground as is? Whether that risk is 1% or 100%, I don't really care. Is it on the table? And I think, you know, that's going to set the tone for whether or not we're willing to negotiate or if we're just going to say yes or no.
Accepting that system as is does them no good because we could only deliver water during the warm months.
You understand that and I understand that, but I don't know that I believe that Summit County Council understands that. And I just want to make sure that if it is indeed on the table, that we agree that we all understand that.
Yeah. And I think I tried to make that clear in front of the council. Now, whether or not we can demand that they improve the roads, I know.
It's all subject to negotiation. I mean, negotiation.
So I think that's a really important distinction here. You know, whether we say yes or no is always subject to veto, is what I just heard Dave say.
Yeah, I mean, you can put in what we would require is for them to file a petition with, whatever number the county council is comfortable with of property owners signing the petition, asking to annex in, and then ultimately we have to decide whether they're going to annex in. It depends upon the negotiation of an agreement with the HOA to purchase assets. It's going to be dependent upon a low interest loan and an assessment. We treat it just like Community Water and Stagecoach. Although it's not technically a bond, we treat it like it's an assessment bond for the paying off the drinking water's loan. It's subject to all of those things. To the extent that we need them to improve their roads so that we can actually service things. Yeah, that would be a part of it because they're private.
Do they currently have hydrants as part of their existing system?
I believe they do.
Okay. I don't know if
many are aware, but they only work in the summer.
Correct. Right.
So, I think they had
I don't know.
Fire.
And that long story. Sorry, I keep talking over Karen.
Go ahead.
I think long story short, my position remains relatively unchanged. I think, I don't think that Mountain Regional needs to be the roadblock that stands in the way of this, but I do think that we need to make our position very clear from a technical perspective not from a political perspective, that it's not in the greater good of the district, all of our existing customers and the customers in Rockport, for them to exist on a system that is beneath our established specifications. And if that means that the roads need to be improved, then we will hold that position as firmly as we can. If it means that the roads don't need to be improved, then we need to, you know, try to encourage that position. But, you know, at the end of the day, my take on this is that somebody somewhere is going to make the decision, and it's going to be out of our hands, and we're just going to have to do the best that we can to get the system up to snuff.
I don't know. I feel like that's pretty far away. I think that in my mind, I look at this at two steps. They have a real need for water up there. And when we talk to those folks afterwards, after the meeting, there's a little bit of desperation in their voice. Like, I understand that. When we spoke to them, we kind of said, you know, in my mind, this looks a little bit like Pine Meadows. Mm-hmm. They have a system. It's, you know, Pine Meadows system more to improve their system, but it has some deficiencies. Is there an opportunity for a wholesale connection if Mountain Regional wanted to go down that route of providing some water? Again, this would be all up to negotiation. That's what we did with Pine Meadows. If they're in a really sticky situation, and they've got to jump through a lot of hoops to get there. They've got to get easements. They've got to get some kind of funding to get the pipe there. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things they have to do, even to get some kind of wholesale connection. If we were, as a district, even willing to sell them water, because that's water that we're taking from our residents in Snyderville Basin that we've done concurrency for, and taking it off our concurrency list and sending it to the other side. So those are the things, I think, the first steps that we need to consider. Down the road, if you can get 100% annexation, a voluntary annexation, which I think is going to be very, very difficult to do, because there are a lot of people up there with no structures on lots that aren't going to want to pay $300 a month for an assessment.
Yeah.
So in my mind, that's the long term. The short term, I think, is there a way for these folks who are in a very desperate situation because they drilled a well, they did not get what they anticipated, to try to get some kind of water? And I think, you know, we're the closest opportunity for them to do that. But there are still quite a few hurdles they need to reach to get to that.
And so when we met with representatives of Lake Rockport and Bowen Collins, when was that? Do you know when that folder was created?
2.5 months ago.
April sometime.
Okay. So that Sam just checked the folder. Nothing moved. So there is desperation, but it's not moving forward. So I think we've made it.
Yeah. My guess is that they don't know how to move things forward as residents, but at some point they're going to get the ear of somebody who does. And I'm worried that everything's going to break loose all at once is what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah.
You know, I think there will come a time where somebody will just make the decision and say, all right, everybody's going to fall in line now and we're going to get water up there.
So they have a list of things that Bowen Collins needs to do the study. And they claim they had a lot of it, but there's nothing. We can't see anything right now.
Bowen and Collins going to evaluate their current sources?
Like just
the infrastructure?
No, I think the whole thing.
Because don't they have isn't there a well one and a well two and then the new well?
I think there's only two. I don't think there's a third.
But there's one they're not using.
So they somehow on a map that Jones DeMille show, it's actually our well that they put on that map.
Mm-hmm. And it's not shown in the right spot.
But the first well they have, not the new one, only goes to like 300 or 500 feet.
Don't know that.
It's pretty much the wrong target for that probation. I still feel like they have not exhausted all opportunities. If you're talking $20 million to integrate the system and they haven't even explored putting in the appropriate infrastructure for the geology that's underneath them, I think we're jumping ahead way too fast, personally. So I'd be interested in Bowen and Collins' opinion on that.
And
Well, and to be clear, a large portion of that $20 million is going to have to be done whether they get water within their own wells or from us. You know, the pipes all have to be lowered anyway.
Tanks. If they want to join us.
Right.
If they want water year-round, yeah. Whether they join us or not, if they don't want it to freeze up, they got to put their pipes down lower. That's just to join society in the winter. That's not to join Mountain Regional.
Do we have rules on what needs to be done to annex in that are like on our standards?
We have our rules and regs have a whole list of things that we need to do in order to annex.
Yeah.
Section of how to annex. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Could you send that out to the board, maybe?
Sure.
Please.
Yeah, we should all read that.
Yeah, it's in our rules and regs. We have a little flowchart, it walks you through. This is what you have to do. But, like, one of the first steps to even consider is we want, you have to have a system, but you have to get people on board, and it can't be five. Yep. It needs to be a majority, if not everyone, on board to do this. And that's, one of the first steps. If we're going in that direction.
Bring up our website.
So there's about 25%, if more than 25% of people disagree the annexation, the county can't do a forced annexation?
Correct. Let me look at that.
Yeah, so if you go to our website under governance, the rules and regulations are right there.
Mm.
So you can just download the rules and regs.
Section on annexation.
And then from a practicality standpoint.
Oh, there's a flowchart.
So here's the annexation flowchart for the process that somebody would have to go through. For it all to work. Corey, can you see that all right?
Yep.
I have a couple of questions. Do we need to have a special meeting at some point just to talk about this issue? I'm just throwing that out. I'm not saying we should have a meeting. I'm asking the question.
I think if it moves forward at all, and I think that part of what Andy's saying is that there has been no movement on their side given any direction we've given them.
Okay. My other comment is, look, I think we're smarter than they are. That's not degrading them in any way. But we really need to scope this thing out. Like I said, why do we want them? Why don't we want them? I mean, I think that's really important. I just don't want to throw good money after bad, if that makes any sense. It's just not worth it.
They would have to fund this. Those lot owners, there should be no impact, financial impact to the rest of the district. There could be a water impact, which we need to consider. Does this mean, okay, we're going to do the treatment plant? Does this mean we're going to force an importation project?
I mean, it
drives us one step closer.
And this should be like Mexico City. I mean, they're running out of water. I mean, that's a lot we need.
And I mean, if we get this further down the road, maybe at that point, we buy water from Park City to service them. They're going to have to pay for that additional cost.
Okay, I just don't want us to be on the short end of the stick. No. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Where does the part where they provide the system evaluation and
very beginning,
the system design and initial water demands?
It's kind of unclear to me.
Up in the top left.
I see that, but
Like in the original inquiry, we have to understand the amount of water we're even dealing with and what their system currently looks like. Like a master plan.
You don't want a design, you want to evaluate it.
Yes.
And you want an estimate to bring it up to standard. So it might be an opportunity to shine this up a little bit.
I mean, this particular is flow chart when we made it was more for the individual lot owners that come in to do this. This wasn't designed for a big, you know, big thing. This was a non-developer person trying to figure out how to get through the process. That was why this flow chart was made. But our rules and regs, and Ian's what we're doing right now.
Okay.
And you saw where those were on the website?
Well, I think I don't know that we need to invest a whole lot of time into it until they commit. And, you know, I think for an area like that, an extra $300-$400 a month is going to be devastating to some of the people that are living over there, you know, and I think they'll say no.
I thought Lisa explained it really well with steps and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have on Lake Rockport Estate. This, even though it's not on the agenda, it probably should be on the agenda, is the new building. They are have excavated the footings and foundations. They will be pouring concrete on Tuesday. We are still waiting for some additional permits for the material storage, dumpster enclosure, covered parking, and retaining wall and monument sign.
And do you go out there every day or just whatever day?
So I go over there definitely on Wednesdays, and then if I'm in the area, I mean, sometimes not a lot of changes, but we have a weekly meeting on Wednesdays over there.
I'm just curious.
Yep. So they are moving along.
Did you ever finish all those cookies?
I think I saw two in the freezer. I don't know who put them in there.
I didn't know.
That's all I know.
All right. Any other questions for Andy?
If I could, just one general comment going back to the insurance. I know we already approved that motion, but if you guys are on the fence about cost savings to the district and the benefit of the employees, please, by all means, side with the benefit of the employees when you're making that decision.
This is not employee insurance. This is property, casualty, liability, automobile.
Then I'm totally out of line.
You're fine. But thank you.
It's a great position to have.
It is a great position to have. Yep. I feel the same way. Does anyone have any questions on department updates?
I had a couple for Brian, but he's not here.
Trying to answer.
Do you know who brushed and veiled well number 5?
Nickerson.
Okay, sweet. And then there was damage at the jailhouse well.
Yeah.
Is it offline then?
No, it's back up.
Oh, but it was off for a bit.
For a day.
Does the contractor have to pay damages that hit it?
It's a point of discussion.
So the first thing they did is they buried the discharge line. Inadvertently, the well started to overflow.
Yeah,
the well started filling a little bit. So where that line runs and where the power runs are on top of each other, they didn't expect to find a power line on top of. And so that got yanked.
Oh, they hit it that way. I thought they crashed into infrastructure.
No. And okay. So
that makes more sense.
The question is, should we somehow mark it a little bit differently or not?
This is the point where the wellhead is, you know, a couple hundred feet away from the building that houses all the controls, right? So our guys marked the water line was marked in the right spot. But how do you mark as water district our electrical on top of the water line?
Yep.
Right.
So we split it with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds
so. They dug and trenched some extra stuff, dug up some conduit. We had our electrician come in and replace the conduit and pull new wire all the way through. So,
okay.
And Kate and Kim did some mapping on us. We know exactly where that is for the future.
Okay. There's always a silver lining in all this,
yep,
right?
There you go. The several hundred water meters in Promontory that were pulled.
That was my question was too. That? Like, why did we have to uncover
collected
meter?
Oh no! So sorry, bad verbiage on my part. Then sorry. So as far as we had a lot of like the fire hydrants and valves and so forth located in Promontory for our GIS. The water meters, we didn't have those located.
So you mapped their location.
Mapping their location. So data collection should have been a better term. Sorry.
I thought they were collecting them and taking them into a cubby somewhere.
No.
Okay.
So that's kind of the last, one of the last bits of data that we're missing is meter locations and Promontory. And so that got Mike and Caden are out there with our GPS equipment mapping, getting the physical locations of those into the map.
And then when they find ones, like you mentioned, that are buried in somebody's landscape, is it the owner's responsibility to daylight that, or is it ours?
It's the owner's.
Okay. And are the owners combined?
We're finding with metal detectors and actually like poking and hitting metal lids. So it's our guys are not going to spend the time to clear it. The homeowners aren't generally not there. They don't even see it.
Just like send them an email.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to deal with that.
Okay. On the to-do list.
Most of them are in vacant service. We could just send a letter to them. They can go out and brush it off.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, sorry for the poor choice of language.
No worries.
No worries.
And then my last comment was just a thank you to Sam and crew that did the fifth grade kind of talk. That's really cool. So
yeah.
Thanks for doing that.
And sorry, two more things. I sent everyone a copy of our concurrency letter that we received in the mail today, just letting everyone know that we're compliant. And then the state sent a letter to the board about cybersecurity, sent that up for your information.
Yep.
Chris does a great job. The trust is actually pinging our system to try to find faults. And then ETS also monitors as well. So I just sent that as it was directed to you.
So are you going to be able to take advantage of some of the specialized training that they are offering through that?
And the testing, like they'll actually do external testing on our system. So yeah, and we're also working with the EPA on some of that as well.
Great.
Is there like 8 kind of key things? How many of those do we?
We touch on all of them,
yeah.
But you know, it's always good to get a third party to look at it. So that's part of the reason why we're going to do the assessment with the EPA. They're a contractor, and there's other avenues for actual penetration testing that we're looking at as well.
Great. Anything else? Do you have any questions on any of the other department updates? It's always fun when we can adjourn while it's still light out. Does anyone want to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
All right. All in favor? Oh, Joel second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thanks, everybody.